3. And this is NEL game day. Sirens blare through the tunnel walls. Pads tied with built for brawls. Trash talk fades as the hits the speak. The same trails, this is game day. What's going on, everybody? This is Lick here on NDL Game Day. I'm here with Jeremy, Penguin, and Pat. We're about to reveal the Season 33 NDL College Football Playoff. Jeremy, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Ready for that Red River game here in about an hour, I guess. I don't know if I'm excited, but I'm at least anxious for it.
Yeah, big game, obviously. Big game. Man, who are you cheering for? I know you got like a split family, right? You got family, yeah. Goes the Oklahoma, Texas fan.
You know, my wife and I have made it very clear to our two kids that we're fans every day but today. So they're out of luck.
And what about you, Penguin? I know you're kind of multitasking right now as your Seminoles are up by 3 against Pitt. How's that going?
It's going. I don't really got much to input on there. Just a lot of shitty football and a defensive coordinator that I'd like to see UCLA needs to come and get. Tony White sitting back there just rushing 3, dropping 8 like a bitch way too often.
Man, guys winning that, right now. Good. Yeah. Sounds like it. Sounds like you're doing great.
Winning up by 3, up at home on Pitt by 3 is not winning. That's struggling. Sorry, it's not the expectation.
Take a deep breath.
It's going to be a great hour. It's going to be a great hour with Penguin today.
Yeah, Pat. What about you, Pat?
I'm going to follow that. I've been 30 days sober as of yesterday, so I'm celebrating with a beer. Hazy little thing. I forgot how much I fucking hated these things, but here we go. I wish I could reach through the screen and give my braided, bearded friend a hug because Lord knows he needs it. And Penguin, I'll need one in return here at 7:30 Eastern. I have a $100 bet out there with Block M.
Y'all are going to win that game.
I just don't see how we win. But at the same time, you know, I was running my mouth early in the season and now I'm being modest. So you're right, Penguin. Why change? Michigan game, we're going to kick their ass. And we're going to be back in the top 15 in no time.
Fight on.
Man, I like it. Confidence.
Yeah. Screw confidence. Michigan and their loudmouth, overweight head coach. The hell with that asshole. Let's go.
Man, some exciting.
Yeah.
Wow.
A lot of anger out here today.
But yeah, no, I like the drinking thing, right? Because mama didn't raise no quitter. So, you know, I mean, it makes sense.
You were on a break.
Well, man, I mean, we got all kinds of people in the audience right now. And obviously everyone's tuning in today because, A, they love us on their Saturday afternoon during some primetime real college football games. But obviously, today is the big reveal for the NDL College Football Playoff Season 33. We had some great conference games, a lot of close games, a lot of big games, and so I know everybody's kind of in anticipation. The playoff committee last night met until, it was around 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock Eastern AM time, and I know it's like they're one of their longest meetings of the year and stuff, and so I know it wasn't an easy decision, right? And so we definitely, I may have who was on the committee. He may have sent that. I'll double check. If we do, we'll go ahead and give him a shout out at the end of the show. Obviously, our own Pat here has been on the committee before, and it's a very time committing a commitment that you make, because obviously these guys, when you visit with them, they do a lot of research. They spend a lot of time, whether we agree with them or not. They do a lot of a lot of good for the NDL. And obviously that's what sets us apart from any other college football league, is that we have guys that are willing to take time out of their own day to really be dedicated about the process and stuff. And what an amazing thing. This is a lot better than what we had with the BCS, right? We could all agree with that. This is a lot better than what the BCS computer ranking was. Like, if you just went off the Massey ratings alone, I'm not sure that you'd have the best two teams in our league play. And I know the BCS isn't the Massey, but just to give you an eye with the computer rankings. So we'll go ahead and jump in it. We got all kinds of fans. Obviously, I think the chat's pretty ACC heavy right now. We gotta see if they're going to end up happy here. And so we'll go ahead and we're going to jump right into it right now. The NDL college football rankings will start at number one here. Your number one team here is going to be probably not a shocker to anybody here. Is going to be your Texas Longhorns coach, Jiggy J. Rod, at 13-0. I'm not sure. I mean, Pat or Penguin or Jeremy, do any of you think there was an argument to put the next best team in the one slot? You heard it there. That's a big no, the silence. Number two team for the CFP is Coach D. Kennedy, Ohio State Buckeyes, record at 13-0. Obviously, these two coaches really separated themselves from the rest of the field this year in the NDL. And our third ranked team is Coach Marion County, Utah, obviously out there in the same conference as Baylor and Pat. Pat, do you think that Utah should be at the three slot, or is this where you would have put them?
No, I would have overwhelmingly said yes, but I just looked at it and Marion County actually has a better opponent record than Ohio State. That's one of the, you know, things that you look at. But maybe, you know, he didn't score as many points and I think he gave up a little more points. Yeah, 10 more points. So it's really, you know, it's one of those things where the ranking, the preseason rankings come into play. Ohio State was always ranked top four all year, so you can't move them, which is why I hate preseason rankings. And then you have Utah, who's been slowly moving up. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But if you want to just look at opponent record, Utah does have an argument. They 10 more games better than Ohio State's opponent record.
Yeah, what about you, Jeremy?
No, I've had Utah number two for a while now, honestly. And once Texas beat Alabama, I've had Utah number two. And I think Pat even kind of made my argument for me during the week in one of the chats. I'm not sure which one, but he was talking about how well Utah runs the ball. And in a one-game situation, you're going to have a hard time with him, because if he doesn't turn it over, he's going to be hard to beat by anybody. And that includes, you know, Jiggy. I think that the way he runs the ball, he's going to have a chance to win the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Then when you really – I mean, you look at Ohio State's schedule in their biggest win on the thing, obviously your conference championship, that's always a big win, but it's probably going to be that Washington win, which obviously was boosted when Washington upset Oregon. But other than that's the only ranked opponent that they played all season during the regular season, it looks like, was Washington. And so yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I think Utah probably played a little bit tougher schedule, challenged a little bit more, but like Pat said, I'm with you, Pat. Started out higher based upon his success, tough to move him down.
Yeah, preseason rankings have always kind of bugged me as I've become like an older man. Like right now I'm on the regular TV, I'm watching Bama play Missouri. Why is Bama ranked eighth and Missouri 14th, even though Missouri's undefeated and Bama isn't? I don't understand. Like, it just makes no sense. All these teams should have no number next to their name for a theater, in my opinion.
Yeah, it'd be nice to not see the polls come out till like week three or four.
Yeah.
You know, Tim, I was going to say this, that really that 2-3 thing doesn't matter. But in the chat, it's brought up. It's a good point. The fact we don't have neutral site games, that Ohio State being 2 over Utah is a huge thing.
Huge thing.
Yep. I'm sure they had that conversation last night in the meeting. I mean, I'm sure that's been going on a long time. But that's going to be that is a big deal when you think about that aspect of it, going to the Shoe versus going out to Salt Lake.
Yeah, so Dampier really does not play well on the road in our game.
Yeah, and it does look like I reached out to one of the admin and he was getting confirmation, but it looks like the way it'll work for the college football playoff is the higher ranked team will be the home team all the way. And I mean, we could probably have a 30-minute debate on whether that's right or wrong. But I mean, in most sports, that's how it's going to shake out. Is usually your higher ranked team gets that advantage if there is one. It's just an unfortunate. It's going to be. I think someone brought it up in the chat this week. Is it's going to be like one of those asterisks, right? If you win the whole thing and you have home field the whole way, you're going to have an asterisk next to the national championship. If you're an away team and you win the whole thing, it's going to be a bunch of exclamation marks, right? If you go on the road and you take care of business the whole way, that may go down as one of the biggest runs in NDL history, just because home field advantage, like Pat talked about it, can so negatively affect certain teams as opposed to other teams, right? Like Texas go on the road, probably not going to get as big a deal, right? You take a team, you know, Missouri State, you're already 40 points below, you know, 35 points below that team. Like good luck. You know, we obviously it's no surprise that they're going to be undefeated, and there's other teams that are really going to struggle throughout the playoffs. So we'll jump into the number four ranked team. This is probably where people's brackets will start to change a little bit between these four and seven or eight teams. Number four ranked team is your Alabama Crimson Tide. Coach Smitty there sitting at 12-1, his only loss coming to Texas in a pretty close game in that SEC championship game. Do you guys see him sitting at that four seed, or do you think he should have been lower or higher?
I think it makes sense. I mean, sure, the SEC championship game was bad, but I mean, especially given his win over LSU, I don't think you really can have a good case to drop him any further than that.
Yeah, he deserves that bye. I should have said that in the chat too, but he deserved to get that last bye there, not have to play that extra game. And you're right, beating LSU and the schedule Smitty played, a ton of road wins. I mean, the guy had a great year.
Yeah, the LSU-Bama game kind of just played out to be, you know, they basically played for the four seed earlier in the year, and Bama earned that by beating them.
Yeah, and I mean, this is a prime example of why I think college football changed their, you know, they changed the rules this year, right? You don't give those automatic bids to the top four teams of conferences. Now it's just they rank them, and then that's the seeding. This is a prime example of how that could have hurt Alabama, right? Being one of the top four teams, and they would have ended up going, you know, they would have been outside of that top four, and someone else would have snuck up there.
That would have been Clemson last year, right?
Yep.
Since they won the ACC?
Yep.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. And to where obviously you could have had an SEC opponent, like someone like Alabama, go play an ACC team. They win the championship and the ACC would still be a higher seed than them based upon last year's rules. Obviously that doesn't take place this year. And so next up, we'll go to the number five ranked team here. Is your LSU Tigers. Pat just kind of hit on that with their loss coming to Alabama. This one makes sense to me I really don't see you having an argument to be able to move him down any. Definitely. I mean, you're talking about the defending national champion, the defending PV Cup champion, and he's starting to get hot again at the right time. So.
The team nobody really wants to play. Let's be honest. You know, yep. He may not be among the top four, but yeah.
Yeah, he's had lots of success against those top four coaches.
Not the fourth guy. He never beat Smitty ever.
That's true.
Not the guy he'd play in the second round, which is kind of interesting. It's crazy how people have certain people's numbers. Smitty played him in the playoffs with Iowa State, beat him. Played him last year with Ole Miss, beat him. Played him this year, beat him.
But then you got a guy like Bucknut who's had pretty good success versus Jiggy. And then you take Smitty, who hasn't had any success versus Jiggy. So
yeah, it's so bizarre the way these guys all. I'm not as good as them, so I don't know what goes through their head going into these games.
I think it's definitely a balance of how they play the game, right? I mean, it's just like real life, right? You have a certain teams in the SEC do very well against other teams, and then sometimes that just doesn't work. So,
well, you know, two things about this that are interesting to me: people are talking about the ACC versus SEC thing. You're starting to see now the value of the SEC, number one. But number two, if there's one guy that's okay with this matchup, playing Bucknut in the first round, it's potentially Missouri State, who we think will be the 12th seed Jose is very confident. That is not an issue for our guy Jose there. And so I bet he's kind of licking his chops here to go down to the to Death Valley Junior. I don't know wherever you stand on that one, but that's going to be a good matchup potentially.
I do hope one thing with Jose that he doesn't backpedal. Like, he's been confident, which is great. And he's going to be a changed man this week because now he knows how to schedule like his family life with football games since he's in the live chat. but I hope he doesn't backpedal if he loses to LSU and go, well, I'm Missouri State. You know what I mean? Like, if you're going to be confident like that, go all in, brother. You know, if you lose, you lose, but go in there confident. But I don't want to hear any of this, well, he's LSU and I'm Missouri State bullshit.
Yep. Like,
you've been running your mouth. You better come to play.
Yep. Yep, a tip of the hat if you lose and just say, hey, you know, the better coach beat me, not the, hey, I'm 30 points less than you, but I've been running my mouth all week about beating you.
Yep. Don't want to hear it.
Yep. Yeah, we'll jump right into the number six team here in the NDL CFP is your Clemson Tigers, ACC champ, sitting at 11-2. Where do you guys see Clemson being at six? Do you think they should have been a little bit higher because they are conference champions, or do you think they were right about where they should have been?
Game with LSU is like the Bron. Didn't they played each other? I'm pretty sure.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, and Clemson lost, so that's I think if Clemson wins that game, he's the 5 seed.
Yeah, so
potentially the 4 seed, but yeah.
So Clemson played two SEC teams. They played Texas, you know, in the kickoff classic, lost by 35. And then they played LSU and lost by one. And that game was at home for Clemson. And so, yeah, I mean, your losses there are to two of your top 5 teams in the CFP.
Interesting. He's just like so close to breaking through, right? To being like that next tier of coach. He lost to Jiggy and that game was ugly. And then, you know, the 1 point loss to LSU, and he's been in our playoff, you know, the last 2 seasons once he got Clemson, and you just are waiting for him to win that one big game to get over that hump. He's the guy that needs to get over the hump.
Yeah. Yeah. You'd, I mean, this is obviously could be his chance. You know, super successful coach, had a great run up until now. And so it'll be interesting to see if he's gained any experience and stuff. He's a younger coach in the NDL. And so number 7 team in the CFP is the Oregon Ducks, sitting at 11-1. Oregon probably was one of those teams that was looking at one of those top 4 seeds and then ends up getting upset at the end of the season by Washington and falls down to the 7 seed. The only thing I would have loved to have seen here is a flip of Oregon and LSU, only because that would have flipped the bracket side, so that you wouldn't have Alabama, LSU on the same side of the bracket, as well as you had had the Oregon-Missouri State matchup in the first round, which is what everybody wanted to see, right? Jose and Shell, Jose calling out Shell in the live chat saying he wanted him and stuff. And so, but where do you guys see happen. What's that?
It's not going to happen this year now. That's it's over.
Yep, yep.
Yeah, I mean, this game is just, it's a consequence of the 3 teams in front of it and the way their games played out, and there's just Oregon gets bumped down because of it.
Oregon's the most intriguing team in the playoff to me. Just like last season, he had the worst opponent record out of any playoff team and took his team all the way to the finals. And you think, what's funny, this isn't real football. That would help a team, right? There'd be the healthiest team going in or whatever. But you would think that he would struggle because he actually had to play, you know, 2 SEC teams last year, and he beat them both. So he shut everybody up. And he once again enters the playoff with the worst opponent record. It's not his fault that sometimes Oregon avoids certain Big Ten teams. You know, you'd wish he would schedule maybe one decent team in the not a conference, but that's his decision. So they're the most intriguing team to me.
Yeah, one of the most storied coaches in the NDL, obviously, with his history and his past. And obviously, last year, he completely stunned everybody on the show here. We continually picked against him. And so I do believe this is a good spot for him. I think not being at the top is going to benefit him a little bit, because he'll be able to play. I think playing those extra games can actually be a benefit. rather than, you know, getting that bye and not playing. I think just kind of being battle tested in the playoff and stuff can be a good thing for some coaches. But just so everybody knows, the Penguin on our show has no idea what teams are in this CFP either. Just because Iowa State is in the fold for the college football playoff. And so we've kept everything from him. And so this is all complete news to him as well. So.
I feel like I have an educated guess.
When we get closer, we'll see if you're right. The NDLCFP ranking for number eight, team number eight here, is your Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Coach Rain out there in Notre Dame. What do you guys feel about him being the eighth seed in the CFP?
I hate Notre Dame, so I just wish they were out of the playoffs.
No, I think the thing for me is they're a team that from week to week, it's been like, okay, they belong up there. And then another week, like, oh, they don't belong in there.
Yep.
It's been so hit or miss for me throughout the year, right? But I do think just the way that wins and losses have gone amongst a bunch of teams that are in that 8 to 13 mix and the way that teams have beaten each other or not, I mean, I think he's kind of there by default, maybe just in the way that's happened. But I'm curious to see how it goes. I could see Notre Dame being a team that gets embarrassed in the first round. I mean, they're just so inconsistent for me based on who they've played and what it's looked like week to week.
It's very Notre Dame strange. One of those teams that loses week one, right? And when you lose really early, people kind of write you off, and then he doesn't lose a game again until week 12 against Pitt, where he gave up 52 points.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty much an absolute truth. If Notre Dame wins 10 games in this structure, they're going to be in the playoffs in real life and in the NDL. It's just the way things are pretty much going to go.
Which is ridiculous, but, you know, that's why a lot of people hate them.
For me, Notre Dame and their schedule and stuff, I will say out of looking at his schedule this year, this is probably one of the better and tougher schedules he's played in the NDL. Right.
Yeah,
I mean,
he's got some great wins.
It kind of matched up to where he has some really big wins. Tennessee, NC State, USC, Miami. He lost to at the very beginning of the season, and Miami started out really hot. And Miami's a good team, but that was his first game of the year. And then he lost to Pitt, which we've talked about Pitt on the show. Pitt was nothing but a spoiler in the ACC, right? He just happened to beat everybody, but couldn't beat everybody. But, man, my biggest knock always on Notre Dame is that when you get a kind of – and they less handpick their schedule now than ever because they do have those tie-in games with the ACC. But when you get a handpick your schedule, it's easier to – definitely in real life, right? I can play one big game, and then I can do a couple easier games. Then I can do a big game. You don't get that luxury when you're in a big conference, in a Power Four, right? You have back-to-back games, conference games, the SEC, the Big Ten, the Big 12. You don't get those, you know, powder puff type games where you can plug in a Navy and, you know, plug in a Syracuse, plug in some of those teams that for the most part kind of struggle. But I think this year he had a really good schedule. If you look at his metrics, he's a top 40 team in every metric almost. Offense, defense, strength of schedule. And so without playing in the conference championship game and a conference, I think Penguin hit it on the button. If he wins 10 games every year, he's always going to be one of those teams that are ranked as an at-large bid, probably.
Deserves to be in there. He definitely – I hate Notre Dame, so I just don't ever like to see him in the playoffs. Yep. But, I mean, looking at his schedule, he definitely deserves to be in there. There's no doubt about it. Hosting a home game, even, I would say. He deserves to be hosting a home game for sure.
Yeah, I think the big win against NC State is obviously one to hang his hat on this season. NC State have a great season. Also, that Tennessee's a borderline playoff team. He was able to beat Tennessee. He did play. One of the interesting things, though, is his three biggest games that he won were all home games. Tennessee, NC State, USC, back-to-back-to-back, all home games. So,
for some reason, EA rates that stadium real big. That's a sleepy-ass stadium. I mean, come on. Why, because Jesus is present or whatever? Like, give me a break.
Rudy's spirit lives on.
Yeah, give me a break.
So we're going to go down to the 17th up, and we're kind of try to make it as suspenseful as possible here. We'll go 17 to 14. This is no surprise to anybody. The 17th ranked team is your Missouri State Bears. Coach Jose's got to be up there for coach of the year, right? Leading one of the worst teams rating wise in the video game to a 13-0 season, beat an SEC team, kind of the tale of two halves, right? You could really say it was like that because the game was disconnected, but was whooping butt the first game. The second game was the opposite. He just was up enough in that first game to where it ended up him beating Missouri, which is a rival for them. No surprise. I mean, we've talked about it. I don't think there was another mid-major that was probably close, you know, to him being undefeated here.
I love disruption in our league when someone new comes in, kind of flaps the gums a little bit. I actually like it. I think, look, we've been back now for a year and a half, and we've only had two people that have won our national championship. So when we add good players like this, I think it adds to the league. I think talking smack like that is friendly as I think it really is and harmless. I think it adds to the league. So I like the fact that we have a new guy in here that took a 67 or 69 overall rated team, whatever they are, undefeated, made the playoff. And I hope he gets a really good team next year and backs it up.
You know, the good folks at Missouri State should be very happy because I did finally draft this past year after a week. And one of the teams left for me to pick was Missouri State. And there's no doubt, Pat, that if I would pick Missouri State, they would not be ranked number 17. Okay. So the administration ought to be happy about the money that Jose's making for him. No, you know, look, here's the deal. Going undefeated with that team, there's no doubt he belongs to be in there. I actually, for the first time in my rankings, had him even higher than 17. I think I had him at 15 or 16 this week in the rankings for me personally, so a little bit higher. And look, I don't know if he's got what it takes to go win a game, but he thinks he has what it takes to win a game. And so I'm excited to watch him in the playoffs. Honestly, I've scrimmaged him a few times, and, you know, I've been some tougher teams for him to go play in those stadiums. And I think that it's, I don't want to say that he's got a chance, but he thinks he has a chance, and I'll be interested to watch him.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where he goes too. I'm sure he's got all kinds of athletic directors knocking on his door, trying to get him to come. I hope he joins, you know, one of the major conferences and ends up on a team schedule too. Right. I don't want him
he's
to join.
Fan.
Yeah. Yeah. And so obviously that'd be big. Obviously we know Georgia's schedule and stuff. He does play several good teams, and it'll be interesting to see what he does at a conference too. Now that people know who he is, know how good he is, it's always interesting to see if he gets on people's radar to schedule, you know, good coach, or if they keep him off the radar. You know, Bucknut dealt with that when he first joined the league. One is that no one wanted to schedule him. And so it'll just be really interesting to see how that kind of shakes out. Number 16 team in the CFP rankings is your Florida Gators. Coach Big Mike, 9-3 on the season. Obviously, a couple big losses obviously kept him out, but definitely no doubt that he's a top 20 team in the league. I mean, is this? Do you think he should be ahead behind Missouri State?
I was expecting it to be Iowa State there, so I'm like, hey, okay, cool. But I frankly thought Florida would have been a little bit higher on this list. Not much, but a little.
Well, Miami loss is not good.
Yeah.
I mean, I shouldn't say not good. Sorry. It's just that I think Florida makes the playoff if they don't lose to Miami. And what did he have? A 17-point halftime lead and loss?
Yeah, he collapsed in that second half.
No.
You could say he took a cat nap the entire second half.
Yeah, what kind of hurt Big Mike here? Because if you took a blind resume of this team and Notre Dame's team, the biggest thing we talked about Notre Dame was their big wins, like their big win against NC State. Florida's biggest win on the season was Tennessee, who Notre Dame beat as well. Other than that, Florida just happened to play a schedule where you had Florida State, who had a really down year, right? Coach Sammy out there in Florida State had a really down year, and all the other teams that he played, Coach Andy in Georgia would probably be a letdown, right? You put a different coach there and maybe a 2 or 3 loss Georgia team, and this could potentially, you could have made an argument that a 9-3 Florida team would have been better than the Notre Dame team. It just pretty comparable schedules and stuff. Obviously, Florida's only losses were LSU, Texas, and then obviously had the loss to Miami that Pat already mentioned.
A lot of what ifs there. You got to think if they beat Miami, yeah, they're probably in.
Yep. Yeah, I would have put them in over Notre Dame, who lost to Miami.
A little bit schedule, though, dude. You know, to even win 9 games, kudos to you, Big Mike. I know sometimes I can be playful with him in the chat, as being a has-been a little bit, you know. But honestly, if I had Florida, I'd be 3-9. So, you know, to have to play Texas, to have to play Georgia, to play Miami, to play Florida State, to play LSU, to play Tennessee, that's hard.
Yep.
And so kudos to him.
Number 15 team in the CFP here is your Washington Huskies coach team there. Out in Washington, he was on his revenge list tour out there for the Huskies, and apparently he hit up everybody and he beat them all. Sitting at 9-3 on the season. Obviously, his big signature win was the Oregon win towards the end of the season where he knocked off Coach Shell. What do you guys think about Washington jumping up, right? They were a team that weren't even ranked in the media, coaches' polls, and they've never been in the CFP, and all of a sudden they jump up to 15.
A lot of love for that Oregon win, I guess.
Well, yeah, it's
too much love for it, in my opinion.
Yeah, too much recency bias.
Yep.
Too much recency bias. I didn't
in front of Florida, I don't understand that at all.
How about them in front of Maryland, who kind of kicked his ass, if I remember correctly?
Yeah.
Yeah, lost by six. Lost by six to Maryland.
I don't want to pimp it, but Maryland is not ranked in any of this. So, like, to be ahead of Maryland, but I watched the game. I'm pretty sure, you know, Mort kind of dominated them. And yeah. I just don't – it's definitely recency bias. Don't get me wrong. And a sim win over Illinois. Illinois really pisses me off because he's such a good player. So the fact all those games got sim just really ruined that whole conference. Once again – a team in the Big Ten doesn't finish their season and ruins the conference.
Yeah, I mean, Washington's probably biggest signature win, guys. Let's be real. It was probably the Apple Cup over the number 17 Washington State Cougars. Giant upset, you know, that probably vaulted him up in these polls and vaulted him up in the CFP rankings.
It went for two. I love that. I loved the call to go for two. What play did you call in that game?
Oh, horrible. I went with slants. I never run slants usually in the goal line.
Slants haven't worked since 2009.
Well, the guy caught it, but he dropped it. You know how almost every slant, there's someone.
Catch it.
No, he did not. Well, he did not catch it. He didn't complete the catch.
I can empathize there. Allegedly my best receiver liked playing volleyball with passes in big situations all season. So I know the pain.
Yeah. You know, Tim, Pat, we have the advantage. Penguin doesn't. We know the rest of this thing. Mm-hmm. And there are some teams who weren't even in this conversation that should be above Washington. And that's not a knock on Steam. I think, you know, especially the Oregon win, all that kind of stuff. But there are some teams that completely left out of this discussion that deserve to be in that 15 spot above him, in my opinion.
Yep.
And to give the committee some credit, like, they, you know, I don't know how long their meetings are going, but, you know, they're probably just at this point when you're rating them, you know, like, who, I mean, no offense, team, who gives a shit if you're the 15th team?
It's kind of disrespectful to a couple of teams who should have been in there, though, to be frank.
It's disrespectful to Maryland for sure.
So he did play. So obviously Holmey's posting in the chat right now. He did play one of the tougher schedules in the nation. The Massey has him. What, like a number 9 or something like that? But I mean, I'm with you guys. I think that he was a win away from being in this discussion, but also if he wins one of those games, he's probably in the playoff because the three games he lost, the Pat was talking about, loses to Maryland, ranked team, loses to Ohio State, ranked team, loses to Louisville, ranked team, right? His three losses are all ranked opponents. And so if he wins one of those games, that probably propels him into the playoffs. But also I think he was lacking. I mean, for me, I'm biased, right? I'm the SEC commissioner, so I'm probably going to think most of those SEC teams, but I would take a Florida team over the Washington team. But like Pat said, I'm sure it's a bunch of 8 to 9 to 10 teams that are borderline. They know they don't want to put them in, but those are like the first teams out. And it probably gets to a point where you're like, who really cares, right? They're all about the same. They're not going to make it. And that may have been kind of what took place. But
though, if they're going with the Massey, Illinois somehow in the Massey is a top 25 team. And so to me, the committee is taking an Illinois victory, STEM victory, way too serious.
That's insane.
Yeah. I mean, it's literally a game that
what was his record
0% chance to win.
What was his record prior to the Sims? Was he like 4-1 or 4-2 or something like that, or 5-2?
I believe it was 5-2. Yeah, 5-2, 6-2, with a loss to Jiggy and a loss to Bucknut, I think, or a loss to Bucknut, and you know, really hard.
Okay,
schedule.
So you can see here, yeah, his losses were too, because you can see him before the Sims, a loss to LSU, a loss to Texas, and then he beat Purdue. He beat Western Kentucky, and he had a win against Rutgers, a win against Wisconsin, Maryland. Yeah, and a win against Maryland, and then a win against Northwestern, but then simmed out all the tough games on his schedule.
Can I jump in here? For any of the listeners that are maybe newer to the league too, I don't think the reason that maybe you see some frustration is at MJ Kemp wasn't just like a decent player. He's been in our playoffs three of his four seasons in the league. So he's very good, like very good. Like he took Cincinnati to the playoffs one year. So like that's why it's so frustrating, because he's that good.
Yep.
You know?
Frustrating to see the committee weigh the Massey, seemingly weigh the Massey so heavily when it's quite clearly got some huge flaws in it, at least for these purposes.
I don't understand the Massey, right? I try. You can Google it. Holmey is probably the one that understands it the most in the league. I just have a really hard time fully grasping, like you talked about, Pat, the some of the things in the Massey that probably to someone that's really good analytically with numbers and stuff like that, it may make sense to them why Illinois is so high. But from face value, I'm like, man, they should be down there at the very bottom. You know, people that are taking wins from them.
Games that were simmed.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Because Illinois is ranked 16th in the Massey, fellas. 16th.
Yeah.
Ahead of Notre Dame by 4 spots.
Yeah. You can't. How can you be using that as a reference? You can't.
Yeah, and I don't mind you peeking at it, but you've got to look into the data, right? So if you look at the Massey for two teams maybe that have played each other and their conferences are full of users and none of their games have been simmed and you want to use the Massey, you can kind of use it as just an element. But if you're just going to look at the Massey, like Pat talked, look at Illinois, and you're like, oh, wow, they're a good team, and then you don't really look at the fact that, you know, and the committee may have done that, right? We don't know. We haven't talked to any committee members, and they may not even have used the Massey. We really don't know what they used. I know Six said that the last couple weeks they were going to kind of change their process of information that was provided to them, and maybe that is one of them. Maybe that, you know, maybe they disclosed that, hey, the Massey isn't something that you necessarily want to entirely look at. I know the Massey skewed a little bit because of point differential, right? We have a 35-point rule. You know, you guys know just as well as I that several coaches don't even push that envelope. Some coaches will only win by a couple touchdowns just because they don't really care about that margin of victory. And then obviously we have some coaches that really step on the pedal till they hit that 35. So we'll jump into the next team here so we aren't here for 4 hours. The number 14th team in the CFP is your Michigan State Spartans. Coach CG out there really turned it on at the end of the season there. Kind of right in this middle of the pack the whole time in the CFP on whether they should be in, whether they should be out. I know all of us four kind of had agreed that they were kind of always on the outside. They needed some help to get in. Do you think they hit this right? Above Florida, above Washington, and out?
Yeah, I think it's right. I mean, I think they were like a couple of teams we said, one more win and they're definitely in there. Just a slow start. The Central Michigan loss is probably going to hurt him more than any of them, you know, early on. But I think a great comeback for CG over the course of the year.
Yeah. The only team in real life that can lose to a MAC team and still make the college football playoff is Notre Dame. Go figure. But yeah, you can't lose to a MAC team.
Yeah, 13 or 14 made sense for them.
Yeah, and then not only that, I mean, I don't know who loses to a MAC team, you freaking losers. You lose the Fired Up Chip, and then Central Michigan doesn't win the MAC for the first time in like 50 years either. That doesn't help, right? You know, obviously, if you're going to lose to the MAC, you'd like that team to be the team that is going to be the mid-major that goes undefeated. completely different scenario, but it ended up not being. This was obviously a down season for Fired Up Chip compared to years past, too. So, Penguins getting a little intense, guys. So we're going to go ahead and go from the top now. We're going to go back up to nine. So these are the teams that are going to be in. Your number nine team here in the NDL CFP is your NC State Wolfpack. We would probably, for me, this is Coach of the Year in the NDL is going to be homie. Probably we've talked about it on the show. Pat really drilled in about the defensive side of the ball here. His win over Duke is probably the most impressive win the entire season in the NDL, for at least for when we talk about it, just because of what he did on defense against a team that's completely blown everyone out on the offensive side of the ball, right? We know Duke can't play defense, but homie shut Duke down for the most part, right? Gave up 21 points. Wonderful win, statement win. Makes it to the ACC championship game, plays very competitive. That was our biggest worry, is that he was going to go in there and get blown out. And so what do you guys think about NC State being right behind Notre Dame at number nine?
Yeah, I mean, surprise team of the year. We have one every year. I voted him in our awards as coach of the year, personally. Kudos. I mean, the Duke win was great. Just played all of his opponents tight too. Lost to Notre Dame by 3. Pitt, once again, the giant killer, lost to him by 12, but, you know, kind of dominated Miami. And, you know, I don't know if you guys watched the ACC title game. I kept peeking in and out. I was a little busy, but he was within, you know, 3 points most of the game. And then just, you know, Clemson took over a little bit at home at Death Valley. But, yeah, good. I think he's right where he belongs.
Yeah, his body of work over the season, it just makes sense. It was an impressive season for NC State.
Held Wake to 20 points as well. I think he maybe mentioned that. That's impressive too.
Right. Yeah, I mentioned that earlier in the year when he was kind of bumping up the rankings. That to me was very impressive. And look, he's going to get a chance to avenge one of his losses against Notre Dame, and the winner gets the right to go play Jiggy in Austin, I guess. But this is
it's
going to be a good first round game. Honestly, it could be the best one of the group.
Yeah, pretty exciting. Get that early matchup. Homie already said in the chat he gets a chance to avenge a loss that he took early in the year. This will be a great game. It was decided by 3 points, and that game was at Notre Dame, so Notre Dame gets to host again, being the higher seed here. Super excited to watch that game. I think they're right where they need to be. Number 10 team in the CFP is your Duke Blue Devils. The team's kind of been the first team in, first team out, kind of been a borderline team the whole season. Obviously, Penguin, you know, you've played jumper at Duke. How do you think this fits with the CFP right now?
I think it makes sense. I mean, they were there on the bubble, so much so as if some upsets had happened in the conference championship games, they could have definitely ended up as the first team out, I think. But none of that really happened. So, yeah, it definitely makes sense. I mean, yeah. They're a good team, and they deserve to be in there.
I thought maybe some other team. I thought he deserved maybe to be in there as the 11th seed, and we'll go over who, you know, that will be. But I actually slightly disagree. His win over Penguin, very impressive. After that, none of it's impressive. Like, it's not good. The schedule is not good. I don't know. Just my opinion. I think they should have, if Duke makes it in, I thought they should have been the last team in.
Well, they're close, right?
But the Oregon Duke game is intriguing as well. So that's a cool matchup.
But,
you know,
yeah. To me, Pat, here's the thing: of all those teams in the mix, they also dominated one of them, right? So that's like, is there a separator out of the group? His win over Iowa State to me is a separator from the rest of the group, right? I mean, it's I don't know. I'm with you though. I think that you could have put in all those teams in a hat and drawn them out, and you really, I mean, could you really argue against any combination of teams here that are, you know, 9 through 13 or 14, whatever it is?
Yeah, it's just one of those things too. That Duke is a flashy team, which we like flash. A lot of points. So that's exciting, you know. I'm not looking at it right now. I don't have the Massey's up, But I would venture to guess that maybe they scored the most points in the whole league if I wasn't looking.
Yeah, so we're gonna do the 12th team. And the reason being is the 12th and 13th team are out because Missouri State slides up into the automatic 12th spot because of their automatic Power 5, P5, or however you want to say it, non-mid-major or mid-major school is going to slide into that 12th spot. So I'll go ahead and do the 12th spot. This is the first team out for your NDLCFP. It is your USC Trojans. Coach Texanol over there at 10-3. On the season, obviously, this is where it's going to start to get where you're probably going to have some split opinions. And I mean, you're really probably splitting hairs with these teams and who's in, who's out. What do you guys think about USC being the first team out?
Absolutely the right call. 100%. They had a good season. They made their conference title game. But two of those three losses, what happened in those games? They got dog walked. And I'm sorry, you can understand it happening one time, but when it's happened twice, I think that makes it really hard to make a compelling case despite anything else you do.
Yeah, the big win over Michigan State, it's just one of those things. Penguin said it, the eye test wasn't good in the really big games. And no offense to Henry, I've met him in person. He's a great guy, but I think he gets dog walked by Illinois if it's him. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, I think of all the teams in the conversation, I probably had them as the third of that group that I guess everybody's talking about now, of Iowa State, Louisville, USC. I don't know. Like I said a minute ago, I think you could take all those teams, and it's hard to argue because I don't think any of them did a good enough job of separating themselves out, right? So it's really, I don't know. I don't think there's a strong case for them to be in or out at this point as opposed to the other ones.
I didn't watch the Big Ten game. I had a prior engagement. I was out to dinner, but people did say that it was tight. I didn't see it though.
It was a very good game. He had a chance. Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I think for him, you know, we all shared kind of a common opinion that this was kind of his playoff game. And I know Henry had mentioned in a chat that he knew that, you know, he had kind of left it out there for someone else to decide. And this was his opportunity to kind of make that decision for everybody. He goes out there, he wins, he's in, really simple. And so this was kind of his playoff game. It was his play-in game. We talked about it, the tiebreakers and stuff like that. Illinois kind of, it was coin flip stuff. That's how USC got in, was because of the Illinois Sims. And it came down to tiebreaker stuff where it come down to very minimal. There were some coin flips that were 50-50 for Illinois because he was playing coaches that there was no coach, right? So it was a 50-50 coin flip, and that's how USC gets in. And so obviously
for Henry,
yep,
he's been left out three times, hasn't he? Been the first team out the last three seasons. That's brutal.
Yep, borderline team each season.
Yeah, that's tough.
But that says something about you too. Like CG talked about in the chat, he'll take 14th at Michigan State, being one of the top 15 teams in the NDL for a season. That's a huge accomplishment to hang your hat on. Like Pat talked about, winning 9 games in a Power 4 conference, doesn't matter what team you are, who you're playing, that's a big accomplishment in the NDL with the type of coaches we have. So we'll go ahead and I mean, we know it's between two teams, probably, if you've been watching throughout the season and following. And so we'll just go ahead and pop in who the first team is in for the college football, and then you'll kind of know who the last team out. Obviously, Coach Penguin's team, the Iowa State Cyclones, is one of those border teams, and then you have Louisville Cardinals. And so who do you think's in, Penguin?
I think Louisville's in, and I think that's part of the I don't think the beating was nearly as long as some people might have alluded it to being, to debate that.
There you go.
Iowa State and USC were in the same boat. We both had a playoff game early, and we both didn't get it done.
The fact that you're announcing this right now as FSU gives up yet another touchdown to Pitt at home to go down by 10 is just a brutal hit, Tim.
There you go.
I don't like you very much right now, Matt. I'm just going to say it.
We have a number 11 team, your Louisville Cardinals, Coach Sargent. 10-2. I'll say that this was probably one of the quietest 10-2 seasons in the NDL, definitely since we've had this college football playoff, right? Only towards the end of the season did Louisville really start gaining traction and people really start looking like, hey, man, he's putting together a great season. If I'm not mistaken, his running back leads the nation. He's going to be up for all kinds of awards. For a game that's really tuned to passing, he's really been able to run the ball. And so, you know, Jeremy, you talked about it earlier. Being able to run the ball in the playoffs is a big deal. And we're talking about an ACC team. The ACC is tough this year, right? They're one of the toughest conference schedules you can see, rounded out the end of the CFP here. And so what do you guys think about Louisville in, Iowa State out?
Better wins, unfortunately. The win at Washington is a pretty big barometer game. It's his best win. Yeah, I don't know. It's very tight. It was unfortunate the Penguin didn't get to play Oklahoma State, so I don't know how they took that sim. Because he probably would have had more wins than the sim gave him, you know, with the stuff. But yeah, it's always tough when you see a team make the conference championship game. We had two of them, but get left out of the playoff, you know, that's tough.
Yeah, that Oklahoma State game, the Penguin, if that guy, and you guys know this, if the Oklahoma State user doesn't leave, he was really good. Pat played him, really good coach. If he stays,
really good.
Penguin has a chance to kind of control his own destiny. He gets the sim win there, but that's not the same as beating a really good quality coach. That potentially would have been the game that maybe propelled you into the playoff, regardless.
It definitely would have been a chance for a ranked win. It definitely would have been, but I didn't bother.
But at the same time, be happy you didn't have to play that son of a gun, dude. He was tough.
I welcome it. I welcome it.
No, it's more fun to play than...
Exactly. I wanted to have my chance, and unfortunately, it didn't work out that way.
Yep.
Well,
at the end, that Washington win over Oregon is a domino here that helped make this easy as well. If that doesn't happen, does Louisville really have a good win to look at? Is someone else maybe sneaking?
Mm-hmm. Well, they obviously love Washington a lot, so that win helps, right? We see that.
Yep.
Yeah.
There is a heavy ACC feel to ACC being this dominant conference, and I'm not going to argue that or not argue that, but that you're seeing why Duke is the one that gets the spot. I mean, Louisville's the one that gets a spot as opposed to Iowa State or USC. So
yeah,
there's a lot of factors there. I think, you know, the biggest thing for Penguin that he knows, and it's not saying anything he doesn't know, but just the lack of that major win ultimately is the nail in the coffin for him. But I think the fact that the late traction for Washington probably pushes Louisville over the top.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The ACC was crazy deep this year. There's just no two ways about it. So, I mean, at the end of the day,
Yeah, I mean, you could argue that there is five ACC teams in the CFP right now because you could couple Notre Dame in with them, right? They play a heavy ACC schedule because of the tie-ins. And so, obviously, they benefit.
There's two teams in there no one wants to play, and that's Pitt and BC, right? Like, in the ACC, they haven't really finished mid-tier. You don't want to play one of those guys.
I'm certain I would hang my hat on it. I would bet the farm that if Coach Roque didn't go out and play the toughest non-conference schedule in the NDL every single season, last year he played in the ACC championship game with, what, five losses?
Yeah.
And I mean, if he didn't do that, he would be a continuous member of the CFP every single season. If he didn't do that, go out and play Jiggy and Bucknut and all these coaches.
And in addition, you have Wake Forest, who scores more points than anybody does in that conference. Virginia Tech was a solid team that almost beat Tennessee on the road to Tennessee this year. And they got lucky that Georgia Tech's user quit halfway through, and he finishes 1-11, a top 15 team in real life that has a great offense. So it's a loaded conference. There's no doubt about that. I don't think anybody would argue that at all.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to let you guys know the committee members. I do have them all here. If I could ask anybody in the league, I would hope that we don't have anybody that would go out there, but just I know us on the media shows and stuff, we like to, you know, show our ass out here, right? Like sometimes we have our opinions. Ours are stronger than everyone else's. Definitely me. I'm definitely like that. But know that we do appreciate everything that anyone does for the league. We appreciate the committee members giving up. They give up their Friday nights to get onto Discord and talk about the NDL College Football Playoff. Pat's been on the committee. Pat's been on our show and he's talked about the commitment and how much fun it is. And I just, so make sure if you guys are reaching out to them, just don't be an asshole. Talk to them. I'm sure most of them are going to be open people. We've had Drew on the show. Drew loves to talk about the college football playoff meetings and stuff. And so reach out to him. Yeah. So, but the members are AU Chase, Beer Cop, Dealer, Drew Baca, Football Kelly, I Crash My Car, Neil, NTX Blue, Old KY Shark, Tarantiel, and Vic. A bunch of great guys, people that are really, you talk about people that are engaged in what goes on in the NDL. A majority of those guys are in the chat. I see those guys on Twitch feeds watching games. And that's not just this year. These are guys that are obviously pretty committed to the NDL and kind of what's going on. And so those are the committee members this year. Remember, if you want to be on the committee, reach out to your conference commissioner. To be on the committee, all you have to do is not be a team that's going to be in the mix for the college football playoff. And you have to be someone that is getting good coaching scores, is up to date on their games, someone that's active in the league and doing stats and stuff like that. That's all they ask.
It has to be a team that's not in the mix, or does a team that seems to just be destined for a certain spot? Because I'm just wondering if they should just pencil maybe myself, yeah. Myself and Texas Nolan for next season.
I was going to say, Texas Nolan should be on the committee.
Yeah, just always that first team out.
Yeah, we both seem kind of a little stuck after these last handful of seasons.
I will say one thing, too, for anyone that's thinking about being on the committee, do it. It's the conversation is super fun and healthy. Like, it's not like a bunch of – it's not like a pissing contest. Like, everyone comes with really good data, and it's, like, really fun to, like, kind of talk. And people bring up things that you don't maybe look at necessarily. So it's good to hear 11 other opinions besides your own, you know? So I recommend anyone reaching out to their Commerce Commission to do it. Six does a wonderful job. It's really clean, and I recommend it to anyone in the league that wants to be a part of something. And you get a bonus point, guys, which is huge.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, super props go out to all the committee members. I know that, I've had talks with them in the past and stuff like that after the committee, and they definitely know how much I appreciate the time that they put in. I think this is, the NDL forming our own committee for the college football playoff was like revolutionary for online gaming and stuff. And to be able to keep par with how the sim style we try to keep in the NDL, I think this was a big bonus, obviously. Hey, I'm going to jump in real. Yes. Yep. Yeah, definitely. I'm going to jump in here really quick. We're going to get some game day pick'ems, and then I'm going to release, just so everybody knows, we're going to release 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 quick bowl games. We want to keep this show. We have about another 10, 15 minutes for our hour window here. We're going to just go through these picks real quick for the first round of the CFP. I'm going to release these 7 bowl games tonight. You're going to get all the bowl games being released by Sammy and Vic on the Outliers. They're going to release the rest of the bowl games to the NDL. And then later this week, we'll have the awards released. The award voting was closed. We'll get that out next week for you. All kinds of media content coming up. First round game, I'm going to just jump up top left of the bracket here. We have Oregon. We have Oregon hosting Duke in Autzen Stadium. Pat, who do you have?
Don't know. Come back to me. I'll go with Shell just because he's a personal friend, but I think he's going to lose. But I'll pick Oregon for my record.
Love it. Penguin.
Duke by 2 touchdowns.
Wow.
I think Oregon may be plenty fast, but that Duke offense is gonna do just fine.
My favorite first round game for sure, by the way.
Yep.
I'm gonna go Duke also, right? A year ago we were talking about Jumper at FAU and what he could do with his passing game if he had a real team. What we're seeing now with the ACC team, what he can do there, and I think Duke is gonna get the win.
It's gonna be a shootout. There's no doubt about that. It's not like we're predicting a close game. I think you're gonna see probably hit the over of 100 in the game. I think 90 to 100 is going to be the over. But I think the difference in the game is going to be Oregon's defense. They have a ton of playmakers in the game. And I think you're going to see a defensive touchdown. I think you're going to see several turnovers in the game. You're going to see lots of points, but you're going to see some interceptions by both quarterbacks. But it's going to end up being a Jumper throwing a pick 6, I think, is going to be the big difference. And it may be end up being a 2-point swing. I mean, a 2-touchdown swing just because of the pick 6. Okay, so we'll go bottom left bracket. We have Clemson hosting Louisville. Who do you have, Pat?
Clemson. That home field advantage, the ability to run the ball, familiarity. I do wish there was a rule in the college football playoff like it is in March Madness where teams didn't, if they played in the regular season, they didn't play in the first round of the playoff.
Yep.
It's kind of a bummer to me. I don't really like rematches myself. But, yeah, give me Clemson by 2 touchdowns.
What about you, Penguin?
I don't think there should be a rule that affects the seeding if a team has earned it. So I'm fine with rematches for that. But in this case, I think Clemson, Clemson's just a little better, and they win a what I think will be a fantastic battle.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, I want to go with 2,000 yard back here, right? I do want to, but I agree. I think going on the road to Clemson against a guy who is. Proven he can win a bunch of these games in these situations. I'll go with Clemson also.
Yeah, another key factor in the game for me is going to be the defensive line play, getting home field advantage. I think that they're going to be able to kind of minimize the big plays by Louisville on the ground. And so I have Clemson winning this one as well.
Hey, really quick, who gets the winner of Clemson in Louisville? Is that Utah?
Yep, yeah. Utah at home.
Oh, Clemson. I think Clemson got the best draw. I think they can beat Utah. And
yeah, they won't.
Wow.
Okay. I'll call it out. Utah beats whoever they get and wins and moves on there.
Wow.
Utah is going to look at them and say, you think you know how to run the ball? I know how to run the ball.
Yeah, but there's a D line that those O linemen can't run over. You know what I mean? So it'll be interesting.
We'll go to the top right side of the bracket. Notre Dame hosting NC State for a rematch. Who do you have, Penguin?
Feel like I'm going to jinx this, but I think NC State's going to play good defense, and I think the story marches on, and that the Wolfpack get a playoff win here.
Wow!
I think this is the best possible matchup for NC State to have gotten in the playoffs.
Yeah,
it's no disrespect to anyone, but I think as far as the way the teams line up, this is the best one for them.
Good point.
What about you, Hubbard?
I'm going to go NC State too. I think that, no disrespect to Notre Dame. I have not been sold on them throughout the year. And that's just my opinion, obviously, but I think NC State has played well. It did play well in the conference championship game. I'll go with NC State here.
Yeah. Tim said it earlier in the show, Notre Dame's won had all their tough games at home. I think this is no different. Give me Notre Dame. And I actually think it's more lopsided than the first go around. Rematch games are tough, like I just stated. And it doesn't really matter who wins this game because either one of them is going to get 35.
Yeah, it's over.
Yeah, so obviously two teams that play the same style of play, right? They both like to run the ball. I think, man, I really want to pick Notre Dame because they're at home, but he's really struggled to pass the ball this year. I don't know. I've played Rain in an online dynasty and stuff like that, and I know he loves running the ball, but man, homie brings it up, man. He just put 200 yards up in the conference championship game against Clemson, who we're just talking about being a really good defensive front, being really good at stopping the run. And man, I was going to pick Notre Dame going into it because they're the home team, but I'm going to pick NC State with the upset, and I'm going to really ride them into Texas, and I think they're going to play Texas good. I think they're going to play Texas potentially as tough as Alabama did.
I'm gonna go run 10 fucking gassers for picking Notre Dame, and I'm gonna call my parents to repent because I can't believe I did that.
Yeah, I've already sent a screenshot to your dad. So, so we'll go bottom right of the bracket here. We got Missouri State traveling into the Death Valley and LSU and Baton Rouge. I mean, man. For me, I'm just going to pick really quick. I got, Tim. I got Garth Brooks singing Baton Rouge there, and Missouri State's getting 35. I'm not sure he's going to score.
Oh, I'm going to go LSU too, but I'm going to give Jose a little credit. I think he's, I don't know, but LSU's going to win the game.
England? Or think?
I think I'll go. I think Missouri State starts fast and actually scores the first touchdown of this game. But LSU's playmakers just overwhelm them, and this game is over sometime early in the third quarter.
Yeah, when you think of Bucknut, you just think of a great coach, and I just look. I think he could run the ball 40 times and win the game. You know, like it's just going to be one of those things. Cute season by Missouri State, but Bucknut, you're about to play, or excuse me, Jose, welcome to the league, and you're about to actually play one of our tier one coaches, and you're going to get your ass kicked.
Welcome to the league.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Jeremy, who do you have winning the whole thing?
Oh, man. You feel stupid not picking Texas, right? But I think you get Texas and Utah in the finals. I think Texas wins.
I'm gonna go D candidate. Been slept, not slept on, but it's like, what do you get from this team? They're unbelievably loaded. Ohio State. The only reason that I hesitate on picking Ohio State, but I want to just to be different, is this whole home field advantage nonsense that we unfortunately have to deal with. I think he's got the best two players in the game, one on defense, one on offense. And he actually has a victory over Jiggy in his coaching history in the league when he was at Colorado. So I think he's built to win it all.
What about you, Pat, or Penguin?
Well, I gotta think it's hard to overlook that issue that Ohio State has with Jeremiah Smith, and knowing you quite truly cannot cover him. Having said that, I think I like Utah to make it to the final, to upset Ohio State, but they will lose there to LSU. Mm-hmm. LSU comes and wins it again. They beat take down Texas in a battle and just reintroduce themselves to us.
Man, tough to argue that. Yeah, tough to argue that. I have Ohio State playing Texas in the championship. I have Texas winning by three, which is going to be a big factor of the home field advantage. Jiggy, great coach. He potentially would win this even without that advantage, right? But he's going to have that little asterisk this season because the video game's broke. And that may be a three-season asterisk, because who knows if they'll fix it. We're going to jump into the bowl games real quick.
If I had to bet $100, that they're not going to ever change it back to the way it is.
I'd be shocked if we get that fixed.
Yeah, it'll be a next video game thing. We're going to jump into the bowl games here just real quick. Again, we'll release – the Outliers are going to release the rest of the bowl games tonight. We just picked – about seven bowl games we thought were really interesting. And we're just posting them up here. And just to give you an idea of what we're doing here, this is the Liberty Bowl. This is going to take a Big 12 team up against the SEC team here. And we have Texas Tech, a 10-2 team, against your 9-3 Florida Gators. Penguin, you played in the Big 12. What do you think about this matchup?
I think it's pretty exciting. There's a lot of really great talent on the line of scrimmage on both of those teams there. I unfortunately think this is a game that's going to be impacted heavily by who gets to be home, which sucks because that's a great matchup. I think that's going to be a big, like a huge thing, like if this game is played at Florida.
Yeah, I will say this game's going to either prove what I think to be right or prove me wrong. I think Tech is the team that maybe should have been in that conversation for those last couple of spots that we were talking about other teams today. They had a bad loss to Houston. I completely get that. But the Houston user at that time was not a bad user, right?
Yeah.
The Utah, who's the number three team in the country. I think a 10-2 Tech team should have been more in the conversation than they were. I'm with you. I think even if they go to the swamp, obviously that's not in their favor. I think that Tech will win the game. But I think Tech should have been in the conversation toward the end.
If they beat Florida, they'll definitely have that case can be made very strongly. Yep.
Yep, agree.
You talking Tech Florida?
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely the most exciting game, I think, of the entire bowl season.
So we have another game here, the SRS Distribution Las Vegas Bowl. No idea what SRS. I'm gonna guess it's something to do with racing. Some racing suspension system. That's just my guess. Las Vegas Bowl, FBS against a Big Ten team here. We got UConn against Washington, 10-2 UConn against a 9-3 Washington. What intrigues you about this game?
fact that it's going to look like an NDL game from 2008. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be two coaches that do, you know, run all the stuff, plays great defense, both of them. And for anyone that doesn't know Dave, great guy, always been good for the league. Always, they call him Zen Dave because he's always comes with an opinion to conversations with like a level head. And I think it'll be a great game. I think it's so cool that he plays with UConn. I think he had like a top five pick like three seasons ago and just took UConn, and that's that, right? Like, and he just will play his guys and he'll go undefeated or whatever, and doesn't give a shit about playing in the playoffs, just wants to play good straight games. So I'm glad he got a really good straight opponent.
Yeah, I'm with you. I just think the fun that we had following UConn this year is they were undefeated for a long time against a Washington team that's getting a lot of press here at the end. Once again, it's another game to where if UConn, who was not in the conversation, can beat Washington, who was in the conversation late, then once again we start looking at these rankings and what we think. But I think it's gonna be a fun game to watch, honestly.
So you don't think I'll be throwing darts at the committee if UConn comes and wins this game?
Oh yeah, we need to put some of the committee members need to be on high alert if UConn wins the game.
Yeah.
We got the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl, Big Ten against the SEC. Here we have Michigan State Spartans playing your Georgia Bulldogs. 10-2, 7-5, obviously kind of a letdown season for Georgia with Coach Andy's first season in the SEC. We're going to see a new coach there. Many speculations are that Georgia's looking to hire Jose as their new coach down there in Georgia. What do you guys think about this bowl game?
I think that game is going to go much like the movie Old Yeller, where the dog gets taken out back and put down.
Oh, man.
CG. Yeah. I know CG's in the chat. I know he's liking that.
Sorry, Andy.
No, you know, Andy brought me in the league, but it's his last ride at Georgia, man. And so, you know, good for him to get one last game in there against CG, one of the guys that I really enjoyed getting to watch. And in a couple of other dynasties with him also, I think it'll be a, you know, two good guys I like to watch play and enjoy visiting with.
You know, this will be a great game. It's one that I'm looking forward to. You know what I love about Andy? He went 7-5 this year. If you talk to him, like on DMs, because I do talk to him sometimes because he's a great asset to the league, you thought he went 12-0. The guy thinks very highly of himself. So you went 7-5 with the top five best team in the game. You tell him he plays bad defense. He's like, ah, no, it's just because I score too fast. No, that's not the case. You're a terrible defensive coach. I think that's going to cost you in this one. I think Penguin nailed it. You're not going to get taken out behind Barnes' shot. And I like Michigan State to win by 10.
Golly.
And TG's liking that.
Well, I've heard Andy say is how bad he was this year, so I don't know.
No. That we're having different conversations. Maybe I'm talking to Dr. Jekyll and you're talking to Mr. Hyde.
We'll jump into the next game, the Valor Alamo Bowl down in San Antonio. This is the Big 12 versus the Big 10. Probably one of my favorite games because this is kind of like a settle it in as your first team's out. We got Iowa State at 11-2 and USC at 10-3. This will be a good, as long as both coaches take this game seriously, right? You don't have to worry about your opt-outs and your guys transferring on you. But this will give you a good measurement between the two conferences, right? Because obviously they didn't give much weight to the Big 12, right? And so this will be interesting to see how they kind of weigh the conferences. And so this is probably one of my favorite bowl games just for that fact. It's going to give you kind of that weight of the two conferences playing each other with teams that were both just out.
I'm thinking a 3-0 Iowa State victory because they're just going to be bitching and moaning on the mics for four quarters how they got left out. So give me Iowa State, 3-0.
Here's the funny thing we haven't really talked about with these bowl games yet, and I know you guys know it, but Penguin, especially in a spot to where he could potentially try to take Florida State next year, he may need the bowl game.
Oh, yeah.
Penguin, don't pull a Florida State from a few years ago and get beat by 60 in the bowl game because you don't care, right? Like, you need to, yeah.
Wow. Hey,
yeah, no, that's a good take.
Need to win, man. Need to
get
win,
on
man.
Those someone while they're down.
And, yeah,
and that's
definitely.
I'm here today.
Yeah.
I'll try not to run my depth chart with just walk-ons and freshmen and sophomores.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds excusey.
I'll try
to. Yeah, you're not trying to get them better, right? Their attributes aren't going to go up next season if you start them in the bowl game.
Yeah. No, they're not. No, they're not.
Best you played, like they've got a bunch of freshmen on their roster today, by the way. It looks like Fit gets the...
Just a little bit. Just a little bit.
You guys are 0-4 in the ACC, Penguin? Is that what that looks like?
0-3.
Oh.
Haven't won an ACC game in over a calendar year now. I mean, I'll admit it here now. I've been his biggest defender for many reasons. But yeah, Norvell's days are numbered. There's no reason for this. This team, things are better. They're on the better path, but this is inexcusable.
Who are you guys going to hire, Penguin?
I have no idea at this moment, but I just know this is year six. And as bad as things have been, as good as things have been at times, we're losing just too many games that they shouldn't lose against teams that are not better than you. Yeah, six. I mean, we really call it five because you can't count the COVID year so much against them because that was just a complete shit show. But I mean, since the beginning, since Jacksonville State, how many games has Florida State lost in his tenure where they were not even debatably the more talented team? Just Will way too many.
Dan got his best player hurt in a game that didn't need, that was out of help.
That's freak injury. Those things happen. I think that's kind of a nuts thing to say, but at the end, Norvell's a fantastic dude, but he's not a good enough football coach to be at a top D1 job.
Then who are you guys going to hire, Penguin? You got to have someone in mind.
I don't have someone. That's why I'm not saying, you know, fire the man immediately today or anything, but I'm just saying I don't see hope with him actually getting it right now. I think I'm officially thinking that it's just not gonna.
Man,
it's never gonna get.
We are boring our audience talking about Florida State football.
We have an FSU guy here who got left out of the playoff today. His team is now 0-3 in the ACC, and he has to look at this.
One who brought it up.
It wasn't him that brought it up.
That a washed up Boston College quarterback would be worth a shit and take you guys anywhere. Let's be honest. You guys need to start recruiting better quarterbacks.
Hey, let's go. Let's move on to this Duke's Mayo Bowl. Duke's Mayo Bowl. Tennessee's on the ACC tour here right now. In the last couple seasons, he's played pretty much every team in the ACC. This will be a pretty interesting matchup. Coach Vegas taking the Tennessee Volunteers out to, I don't know how the bowl games are going to work. I don't know if they're going to be coin flips for who's home, who's away. Miami Hurricanes and Coach C. Nasty, who had some big wins during the season, but also have been pegged by many to also be bad losses, right? We've heard that. Like, Miami's a good win, but also a bad loss. And so this will be really interesting. I think Tennessee was a borderline team, is just right out there with Florida in the SEC. What intrigues you about this matchup?
Well, I'm picking a tie with a lot of injuries. Both guys hate the game. They don't like playing the game. They both have good teams. But, you know, I think Miami's going to be kept because admin magically get two bonus points instead of one. So, yeah, I don't know. Give me a tie with a lot of injuries. What about you, Penguin?
I think it's a game Miami should win, but like you mentioned, for the issues you mentioned, them both not liking it, I think Corey dislikes the game more. And Vegas, sure, he'll give you a narrative about how much he hates this game for certainly if he loses this game. But I think also, you know, he wants to have a little bit of pride and be able to, you know, kick Miami's ass and say, hey, y'all should have been talking about me a little bit with the playoffs too, even though he lost to Florida. So for that reason, I think you get a you get a little boost from them, and I think you hear Rocky Top way too often in this one.
I don't miss that.
Miami needs to win. Miami needs to win.
That's true. That I hadn't thought about that. That's true. There's a very, I mean, I haven't looked at the math, but and you would know better than me, but that would make sense.
Two bonus points.
Yeah, I think the bonus point thing and the bowl win could keep him in Miami if that's what he wants to do.
Well, he'll definitely stay at the squad.
Yep, I think he stays with his two admin bonus points. I don't think the two bowl points are going to – and I don't know the math. I'm just hypothetically stating. But we got the RL Carriers New Orleans Bowl, the Sun Belt team against Conference USC team. This will be Appalachian State, who came on strong at the end of the season with Coach Brady. Pat talked about it last week on the show, or this last weekend, how Brady, many don't know this, but Coach Brady was a kickoff return away from being, you know, a conference, you know, a playoff team.
He's the reason we have a playoff committee now, by the way.
100%.
Because he got ripped off and didn't make the playoffs in our first season back, and they gave it to like Ball State or something because of we used the Massies, and now we have a playoff committee because of you, Brady. You're the man.
Well, and the dude's a good player, right?
Yep.
Great player.
If he would just do all his participation stuff, please. You know? And has anybody fallen off more than Weasel? Like, where is he? Pat, it's your buddy. Where's he at?
No, he's not my buddy.
He's more into Yankees loss, probably.
Yeah, I don't even call him Weasel.
I hope it hurts.
I mean, he's Jose
Spider from Goodfellas.
Jose took his soul from him in that first match.
He says the chat is the juice on the 1PTD show that he was on, though I have to agree with him. But yeah, Weasel, he'll come in and talk shit a little bit to Marion County, and they'll talk about each other's Timberlands or whatever else that they own. I'll be rooting for App State, but I do think the Weasel will win. I do wish Brady did his stats. You're right. I'd like to see him at like a high level school, and he's a big Michigan fan, and they're finally open.
Yep. Yeah, I think this is where he's going to shoot himself in the foot, and I promise you, if you probably talk to him, he probably wished this season he would have done all those extra things to at least have a tentative shot to head out to Ann Arbor and take over Michigan.
Team is built for him.
Yep. So anyways, those are the bowl games that we had picked. I know the outliers are going to release the rest of the bowl games later tonight. I'm not sure what time. And so that may get released sometime tonight on the NDL Twitch or tomorrow morning. I'll post this up to Spotify too, in case anybody wants to listen to it.
Are you implying that people would miss the chance to listen to it live if they can?
No, I hope not.
Would do that.
I hope not. I just don't know what time that Sammy and Vic are doing the show.
Yeah,
hey, I'll tell you one thing: the Indiana Hoosiers can play some football, man. These guys look good early.
So can the Washington State Cougars. I don't know if you guys know right now, but the Cougars are down 3 and have the ball at Ole Miss right now. They're on the 5, trying to go 95 yards in 22 seconds. But
it would be
just
such a lane kipping loss if they lost.
Hey, man, from my standpoint, Washington State's one of the youngest teams in the nation. A new head coach, Jimmy Rogers, from South Dakota State. I don't know if anybody knows that, but obviously won national championship. We're super young. This is a win for us, right? You go into Ole Miss and you only lose by 3 after you lost to North Texas, you know, 3 weeks ago by 50 points.
Moral victory.
Yeah, 100%.
Hey, Tim, I know you're a Montana guy, by the way. Did you see the Montana Grizzly uniforms this
week? So those are throwbacks, right?
They awesome.
Yeah, it's a 30th anniversary, and so they're wearing the uniforms that they wore 30 years ago.
They're so badass.
Yeah, super cool. Big Montana State, big Montana fan. Growing up, watching a lot of games there, and so it's pretty exciting. I don't know. Obviously, when you're talking about that division and stuff, they're pretty much kind of in the playoff picture every year with NDSU and SDSU and stuff. So, anyways, yeah, Trajan says we definitely don't want to talk about Washington State if we can't talk about Florida State. Agreed with you. Well, I appreciate you guys hanging out on Saturday afternoon.
I'll see you in 3 hours at the Coliseum, you little gooch. Let's go.
Oh, there we go, Pat talking shit to Block M. Hey, I hope it's a good game. I know you guys got money bet on that game. Man, we appreciate you guys hanging out with us on a Saturday afternoon. I know we've already talked about it. Game day is going to go back to early morning for the next season. For the next season, the reason we did this is just mainly because of me and my all my kids in sports and stuff. It just made it easier. So we appreciate it. We know you guys loved your early morning game day. And so really appreciate it. Do you guys got any parting words?
So Tim's adopted some Native American kids, and of course they're cross country runners. Go figure.
100%.
On that note.
Yep. Running from the white people.
That's why they're still alive.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, one of their birthdays. Well, he's not my youngest son, but he was before we had our 2-year-old. His birthday's on Monday, which is Columbus Day, which he thinks is the funniest thing ever. That his birthday is on Columbus Day this year. And so they're really chill about the whole Indian. They really, for Halloween, they really want to dress up as Cowboys and Indians, but they want to be the Cowboys and they want me and Shelly to be the Indians. And so, it's pretty funny. They definitely play it off. Yeah, they definitely play it off.
That's so cool.
Hey, really appreciate it, guys. Obviously, Game Day crew, I appreciate you guys coming on the show and sacrificing your Saturdays to be with me throughout the season and visit about the NDL. This season 33, this is what, our fourth season doing the NDL Game Day show, and I think we've missed one Game Day, and that was because Penguin and Pat got too drunk, you know.
Yeah, whatever.
No, our only Game Day show was missed when we had our NDL convention.
The fire water that he brought to the convention.
Yeah, 100%. No, we're pretty excited. Hey, really quick, the NDL convention in Nashville that we're planning on doing, there is the potential to where the game will release, just depending on the dates, the game may release like a week before the convention. So obviously a pretty exciting thing is that we have our convention, the NDL convention in Nashville. If you don't know about that, check out the Discord. It's in there. Other than that, man, have a great Saturday.